today we are here with six undergraduate University of Maryland students from a very nice interdisciplinary background, and we are discussing some important issues that the Baha'i Chair for World Peace is interested in. My name is Hoda Mahmoudi, and I'm the holder of the Baha'i Chair, and I'd like to begin this discussion by asking our students the following question. How can students work together to strengthen the voices of female students on campus?
My name is Kanta, and I'm a junior criminology and government politics double major. And I believe that we have to be honest about what happens on this campus. I think a lot of times there's a lot of downplaying of sexual assault and the kind of the negative aspect of sexual assault and all of that. It's downplayed and it's not really known much on campus. So, for example, we receive UMD alerts for burglaries and robberies and all of that, but there are no UMD alerts about sexual assault. And I do understand that there is victim discretion there, but I think it's important for the university to know what's going on so people realize that there is a problem on college campuses when it comes to the rape culture and inequality, gender inequality. So I think that the university has to partner with local police departments to kind of make that happen and make sure that those UMD alerts do go out, just so everyone knows that it's not something that occurs to one or two people on this campus. It's very widespread and it's a real problem on this campus.
I'm Chica. I'm a freshman nursing student here in the university, and I wanted to bring the perspective of someone that works in the care office that it's not only sexual assault that is a issue on campus, but also just sexual harassment, just comments being made. And unfortunately, a lot of times these comments can belittle students and cause them to suffer in their work and their scholarly efforts or anything like this. But also, it's a lot of times it's a power struggle. I know that for a lot of students, especially female students, that if you want a good grade in a class, or if you want maybe a teacher to be to write a letter of recommendation or something like this, if you are then complaining or reporting them and stuff like that, then you end up being seen as a problem child or a problem student. And one of the issues that we need to overcome on this campus to realize that reporting a problem does not make you a problem. It's not something that you should have the onus on. In fact, reporting it and standing up for what you believe is right, to me, is a sign of strength and should be supported by all members of this university.
Yeah, my name is Edwin Rodriguez, and I'm a criminology, criminal justice major, senior. And I think it's interesting how, you know, as soon as we hear a female in college campuses, we go straight to sexual assault. And I think another problem is, like, inside the classroom, sometimes the girl who talks too much is often seen as, like, too smart for her own good and that kind of stuff, or she talks too loudly. And I really feel like these are problems that are not just on campus, but in society in general. You know, we tend to live in a society where rape culture is a thing, and where, you know, we belittle, you know, girls and adult females who tend to do the things that normally we would associate with men. And so I think a way to strengthen the voices of female students on campus would be to, and I mean, it's so hard, you know, because this is something that's been going on for such a long time. But I really feel like if we could just somehow, like, eliminate I guess, like, gender politics that we tend to carry with us everywhere we go, I really feel like that would not eliminate absolutely everything that female students experience, but at least make it seem like they can speak up when they feel like to.
I think it's also very important to include men in this conversation, because this isn't a problem that just occurs among females. It's something that everyone needs to work together to strengthen. So I recently heard a new word, and it's mansplaining. And it's when a man dumbs down his language when explaining something to a woman because he assumes that she doesn't understand. And I think everyone needs to check themselves when speaking, especially in a classroom setting or even when having conversations that have an academic basis, that you treat everyone who you talk to as if they are college students, they're college educated, we can all understand these things. And I think that everyone has to step back because, as you mentioned, the girl who talks a lot in the class, I feel like even women would be like, oh, she's very opinionated. So I think we need to all take a step back and see, are these judgments that we're making, is it because she's a woman or is it because of something else?
Yeah, sometimes I feel in male-dominated fields, a lot like STEM fields especially, that I would include business in there at times as well. It's almost a gentleman's club where if you aren't one of us, one of the guys, you're not seen as an outsider. And unfortunately, we have to make spaces or clubs specifically for women just to feel that you're a part of this. And it's great that we're having these women organizations and women empowerment organizations, but I would love to see more groups that are focusing on, let's integrate. Let's stop seeing it as, I mean, yes, there are genders, but let's stop. let's instead of seeing it as, oh, this is a girl in an engineering school, you are an engineering student. You are just as capable as any other man in here or any other student. It's not an issue of what you were born with or what you believe or what you identify is. It's how much work and effort you're going to put into your work and into your studies and such.
Sounds like to remove the binary aspect of this, male here, female here, would be helpful. Am I assuming that? Or is that something that would be helpful? I don't know.
I think although that binary part does need to be, as you said, there needs to be groups of equal, equal numbers, male and female. I do think women empowerment groups are important because a lot of times in a male-dominated society, in a patriarchal society, you grow up with certain values instilled in you that might need to be reversed because they might be limiting your opinion of yourself and the capability that you think you have. So I think it's really important for women to talk to women and explain that, no, you are capable of anything that a man is capable of, even if, let's say, your family or your friends or your society tells you you're not. So I don't think it's necessary. I think it needs to be a combination of women empowerment groups as well as men and women working together.
Okay, hi. My name is Vicky. I'm a sophomore economics and statistics undergraduate student here. One of the things that I think we have to be careful of when we talk about equality is defining what it means to be empowered. A lot of the times, what it means to be successful is to be like a high value, like live...
High ranking,
thank you. A high ranking individual in some kind of corporation or being in the STEM field. And sometimes just being a woman or being a mother is downplayed and that's not considered to be a powerful position. So we have to reevaluate how we define what it's okay to be and what people should be striving for.
My name is Esther. I'm an economics student at the University of Maryland. And reflecting on what Vicky just said, it makes me think we discussed in one of my courses the idea of how education is a female-dominated field often, at least K-12 education. And sometimes it's looked down upon and it's almost not given the importance that it deserves. And we're discussing, is it because women do dominate that field? Because it seems that it's very important. And so bringing conversation of both men and female to recognize the division that exists and why it exists, as you said, I think is important to think about. I mean, this is a social problem that you can't really just fix with the snap of your fingers. So it's, I think, important to think all the characters that play a role.
Yeah, looking at the careers that are male and female dominated, I know, being a nursing student, I know that I'm going to a field that there aren't many men in. I know this nursing school I'm looking at, there's like a student body of 10% males. So I guess being on the flip side now, seeing how I might be exposed to maybe some sort of gender bias and such would be interesting perspective to bring back. But also, I wanted to talk about the idea of this. I don't remember the exact term of it, but there's like an imaginary escalator when it comes to careers, where if you're a male in a female-dominated field, you may be paid more or put in positions of power, or not necessarily power, but leadership, at a faster rate than women. So then I kind of wonder, in an attempt to diversify the field, are we instead concentrating importance on certain people. I know that some people even joked around with me that, you know, going to nursing because you'll be making more than women at the time because I'm a black male. And it's unfortunate that's the case, but then I wonder, where do we pick our battles? Do we pick our battles with diversity, or do we try to go with equal pay? Because it seems like at this point, if you try to pick one or the other, you might be minimizing the other field or minimizing the other gender as well.
So the other question I was wondering about is, in this regard, with regard to this question, what needs to happen on campus to ensure the equality of female students on this campus?
I feel like it's more of a social change that needs to be made, because although you can do things in classroom settings by encouraging the female students to speak and express their opinions, it really comes down to how society is run. So I think on this campus, we really need to have those conversations in a room full of men and women and explain to them why this is a problem, because I feel like a lot of people downplay this. They're like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's only 25 cents. Like, women only get paid 25 cents less. So it's like, I don't think people really understand that that is an implication for the rest of society and future generations. So I think people need to understand the problem first before we try and change the way society is run. So maybe like a seminar on why there is gender inequality on this campus, and once again bring in those facts and statistics to make sure that it's not just an opinion that's pulled out of thin air and that it has a credible basis.
My name is Samantha Ernst, and I'm a junior public health science major. I agree with you that we need workshops, for sure, or some sort of seminar, but I kind of struggle with, like, how are we going to get people to go? How are you going to get people to attend? Because people are so busy, and if it's optional or something of that sort, I don't know, even I, like, sometimes I would probably, like, blow that off because I'm like, I have things to do. It falls during time I have class. So I think one of the biggest struggles is, like, I don't know if one workshop per semester, per se, would necessarily be super impactful, because it's not, such a deep-rooted issue that, like, one time addressing it, like, you go and you think about it for an hour or two and then you leave and it's like you close that door. Like, you don't really think about it anymore. You're like, oh, I did a good thing. I went. I learned. Like, but, like, are you actually changing what you believe? Like, it's so, not innate, but such a part of you, and you may not even know it. So, I don't know. I feel like it needs to increase communication, like, talking about it, maybe lessening the taboo of talking about it and, I don't know, being vulnerable to having those kind of conversations. I'm not really sure how to fix it exactly on a campus where we're all kind of trying to promote our own agendas. And I don't know if that's cynical, but it's kind of hard to look at. I don't know. I just think one seminar wouldn't necessarily be the most feasible or productive.
But I do think it'll start the conversation, you know?
Maybe,
and I think
yeah.
That's, like, super important.
That's true.
So I do agree that sometimes people just go and then it's kind of like just current events. Like, you're riled up about something and so passionate about
yeah.
it, but that passion only lasts like a week, a day.
Exactly.
Like, whatever.
No, exactly. And I think that's a good point. It would start a conversation, but getting people to go, again, kind of, getting people to go is hard because if you're not aware of the event, like, how are you gonna promote it to make it like an attractive event to go to?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
I'm just curious, are these issues, I mean, women, perhaps minorities on campus, I'm just in general trying to think, is this an area that perhaps a more general education type of class would start the conversation? I'm just asking, I don't know, how do you... Because a college education should prepare students for the kind of society that they're going to live in. Therefore, that means they should know some of the more important issues about that society. And I think inequalities of all kinds is a part of that. So is it a curriculum? I'm just asking. Or should it have been done years before? So let's hear about that.
I think that it would have to play into earlier education. I think that's one of the biggest issues, is that we are already so ingrained, like, we already have our ways. We're very stuck in our ways by the time we're entering college. I mean, there, it is time for change, obviously. It's not like you're set, but I think it needs to start in kindergarten, you know? It has to be an open conversation. You have to be aware at a young age so you don't, like, develop your beliefs, I guess.
I don't necessarily think that education is going to solve everything, especially when it comes to societal problems, because teaching people things doesn't mean they're necessarily going to believe it. I mean, one of the things we can do on an individual level is to talk to people and to question them and to have them evaluate their own beliefs and have them come to their own conclusions, because that's the only real way that people are going to learn to believe in something, if they're personally impacted.
I just say, I wonder if on a college campus, we can't maybe change everyone's norms, but if we could inspire students to go for a field that they may not be the majority gender in. So, for example, if female students could see other successful females in the STEM field and how they have succeeded and what they've done, and the same goes for males, if you could see successful males who've done a lot in the medical field or whatever it may be, to show students that it's not impossible and to encourage them to pursue fields that they may not feel initially adequate for.
Yeah, I remember around Thanksgiving, I was helping the Baha'i Chair promote their event titled Can Women Think? And the title sort of stuck with me because it was like, I've never asked myself that sort of question. And, you know, I think as much as it's a societal change that has to be made, I also feel like we're on, like, a very diverse campus. And so there are so many different cultures that are coming in here every day. And, you know, as a Latino, I come from a culture where the woman as the caretaker is a norm. And then I come on college, and it's the woman as a powerful, you know, I see women as more of, like, I would never consider women as caretakers. I consider them as, like, the next leaders right next to me. And so, you know, going home and asking, you know, my father, can women think? You know, I really feel like that's when you start those conversations that you're talking about and see what someone from a different culture thinks about that.
Yeah, I still do believe that education is key. I know earlier you questioned that. And I feel, and this kind of goes off what Sam was saying earlier too, one seminar or one training session in the beginning of semester is not enough, in my opinion. You need constant repetition, constant feedback, back and forth with professors, students, to really foster these deep and challenging questions. Whether it's a training module on sexual misconduct or alcohol use or on diversity, a quick, well, relatively quick, 4 hours is not quick, but a short session on any of those online is not enough, in my opinion. That's why sometimes I look at the class or the scheduled classes in the catalog, and I look and see what classes can really broaden your horizons, from history to a lot of those humanities and social sciences. But also, on another note too, there are a lot of students that don't think that those classes are necessary or really important. I have acquaintances and friends that will look at women's studies and be like, I'm not taking that because I'm going to meet a one guy in that class and he's going to pick on me. And the same thing when it comes to African-American history, African-American literature. I will tell friends, like, you know, this actually would be an interesting class for you to take. And a lot of times we'll see it as, you know, I don't really understand black culture, but I'm too afraid to, let me say, dive into it or ask questions about it. So maybe if you can remove the perceptions of certain classes, or maybe give them a taste of what it's like to get people to really enjoy and to delve into new worlds. Because then you get the repetition that you need of having a semester-long course, and then you also get the that stereotype or the stigma behind this class is removed as well.
I do agree that the little blurb that they have on Testudo doesn't really capture what a class is about. So I think possibly it could be about, maybe during UNIV courses, which is like the introductory to the university course, they could go into a couple of courses that promote kind of, I guess, beyond the horizon, like beyond your regular horizon thinking. They can talk, someone from that course who's taken that course can come into those classes and really explain what they learned out of that class. Because UNIV students are freshmen, they're coming into this university with fresh eyes and they're ready to do a lot of things. But I don't think they, like, looking at the schedule of classes, it's like, oh, I'm going to stick to my major. I'm going to stick to what requirements I have. But hearing from someone, maybe being, listening to their experience in the class, really changes things. So, for example, my friend just took a Jim Crow laws class, and that's not something I would really choose to take because it's not like a beast, I mean, a criminology. I mean, it goes into the history of criminology, but I'm not really big on history. But after she described what the class is like, it's definitely something I'm going to take before the time I graduate. So I think those personal experiences is important to bring in to kind of push students to go beyond their comfort zone.
Wonderful. Such great ideas.